It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This month, America has been celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And while much progress has been made for and by individuals with disabilities, there is much more to be done, particularly for individuals with disabilities who cannot speak, minimally verbal and nonverbal individuals who are vulnerable to barriers to all sorts of basic services because they can't talk and advocate for themselves. But a downtown clinic called the I Can Talk Clinic is helping to serve these people. I'm joined now in studio by Katia Hill, an associate professor in the Department of Communication Science and Disorders at the University of Pittsburgh, who established the I Can Talk Clinic. Katia Hill, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, and it's great to be here.
Also with us is Evelyn Meinert, a speech-language pathologist at the I Can Talk Clinic. Evelyn Meinert, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Paul.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. People who can't talk are a minority within a minority, and you say their numbers are growing. Explain this, Katya.
Well, we have approximately 3.5 million people in the United States that could benefit from augmentative and alternative communication. And that's across the lifespan. With our increase in baby boomers, we know that as we age, we can experience disabilities that may result in needing AAC. And then with early intervention and our growing number of children with autism, that's another significant population that can benefit from AAC services.
If there's one thing I think that people have learned or become enlightened about during the course of conversations about the ADA and about this topic, is that we all face disability. It may not be happening to us now, but we're going to face it at some time or another in our lives. Maybe we already have, or we will down the road as we age. So these are things that we shouldn't be thinking if we do, and shame on us if we do, that this can't happen to me, because it can. So that's one reason why this is relevant to everybody. You say that giving a kid who can't talk an iPad or other voice output device isn't enough. Why is that? Katya?
Yeah. AAC is an intervention, so it's more than just technology, and I like to say it's language first, technology second. So if you don't understand how language is being represented in the software of the technology, you are missing the whole point of a child or even adult being able to say what they want to say and then saying it as fast as they can, because that's what we all desire.
Mm. And if you know of someone or would like to share the story of someone who is minimally verbal, a nonverbal individual, we would like to hear from you at 412-246-2002. What are the ways in which you are, and that person may be, finding ways to communicate and be heard? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Also, our email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH. How was the I Can Talk Clinic developed, and how is it helping? Okay. Evelyn, go ahead.
Okay, well, Dr. Hill founded the clinic in 2010, and I need to add that it's part of an organization called the AAC Institute, which she also co-founded. And the mission is to provide the most effective communication possible to anyone who relies on augmentative and alternative communication. So that's the mission of the organization, and the clinic is the therapy arm. And the I Can Talk Clinic also serves regular conventional speech therapy. We provide that as well. But our specialty is in this area, because even though there are a lot of speech-language therapists, this area requires very specialized knowledge, not just of the technology, but also the intervention strategies.
And clearly you identified a need or a void in this area.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Katya.
And that was, I have over 30 years of experience, clinical experience, of working with people with the most severe and challenging disabilities. And what I saw when I helped to co-found the AAC Institute was to have a clearinghouse of what were evidence-based practices and being able to understand what interventions were working for improving the quality of life for individuals.
And you have an important summer event coming up that starts tomorrow for children with severe disabilities who are nonverbal and rely on speech-generating devices to communicate. What can you tell us about that?
The camp is now in its fifth consecutive year, and it was the brainchild of Dr. Hill. And the focus of the camp is to bring together both the children who rely on AAC devices and their families. So we're not just hosting kids, we're also hosting their parents, providing them with the therapy that to help them be better communicators with their devices, and helping the parents learn ways to support them. And this particular camp is 3.5 days. It's one of a kind because we take the kids out into the community. They don't just stay in one place. We're at the Crown Plaza in the South Hills, and that's where we're going to unite tomorrow and the next day. But then we're going to be visiting the South Hills Village Mall. We'll be taking them to the Carnegie Science Center, where they actually get to practice communicating with unfamiliar listeners.
And what is amazing about this camp is I do an all-day training with the parents, and to listen to parents' stories that they have never been trained on the systems that have been provided to their child. And so the modeling that typically happens with parents that have typically developing children, learning language, can't happen with these parents if they don't know how to talk with the devices themselves. And so this is eye-opening for them. And they just drink in the intervention strategies that they're learning at our camp, too, not just the children.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to join our conversation with Katya Hill and Evelyn Meinert with the I Can Talk Clinic in Pittsburgh. We have Chris from Pittsburgh on the line. Chris, welcome. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you. I have a friend that has aphasia. She's 70 years old. It's developed over the last few years. I was wondering if you have any kind of assistance for someone with that. You know, she has trouble speaking the words she means to speak. She says she can see them in her mind, but she just can't get them out.
Yes, as a matter of fact, and we do see clients with aphasia. One of the most important things for your friend to appreciate is that she would need, or he would need, a comprehensive evaluation to understand specifically their language and communication disorder, and then to match appropriately with the interventions. It may or may not be technology, so that comprehensive evaluation first is essential. And we do find that many individuals that have had a stroke and have aphasia have never had a full evaluation conducted of their disability.
Chris, hopefully that helps. Thank you for that call. Let's go to Michelle from Swickley. Michelle, you're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have more of a comment than anything. I have a son who's severely autistic, minimally to nonverbal. I consider him nonverbal. We have suspected he has apraxia of speech, haven't been able to get that diagnosis because he wasn't verbal enough, which is kind of, you know, he's not verbal enough to have that diagnosis given to him because he wasn't, during the evaluation, making enough sounds. But anyhow, so I had to put up a pretty big fight with insurance to get him a communication device. And my comment is that when insurance continues to deny these devices for a lot of children and adults who have autism or other communication disorders, it feels like it's a basic violation of a human right. I just feel that there's not enough attention given to that, and that, you know, everyone should have that ability to communicate if there is technology to do so. And how do we kind of approach that as a human rights issue? And I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that, Michelle. And, you know, we were talking yesterday about people who are fighting substance abuse and how the insurance companies, in many cases, are denying the individual's ability to stay in, in an inpatient clinic. And now we're hearing about insurance companies denying people the ability to obtain what they need. In these cases, it's a very sad common thread running through some of the critical challenges that people face in terms of addiction or disability.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that the AAC Institute advocates for is improving funding and working with other organizations to advocate for improved funding. But one of the things that goes hand in hand in this is that speech-language pathologists have to be trained and have experience in conducting the evaluations and writing the SGD funding report and knowing how to be successful in the appeal process and talking with the insurance companies. And if you lack that experience and lack those skills, that is putting the family and the individual that needs that speech generating device in a compromised position.
412-246-2002, if you'd like to join the conversation. How far have we come in how we help kids for whom it is a challenge to communicate? How much farther do we need to advance in our society, Katya?
Well, we have overcome many barriers to awareness of the interventions. We still have a ways to go because we're struggling between funding, recognizing what is an intensive amount of treatment and what is effective treatment to be providing. So it's not just getting a device. It's that a trained team needs to be working with that individual, especially the speech-language pathologist, in how to overcome what would be the communication disorder. So it's not just a matter of providing a box, a device, without understanding the communication disorder and then how to work on building language competence.
There are a lot of people listening to this who I'm sure are saying, you know, when they hear I Can Talk Clinic, are wondering, well, gee, where is that? I didn't know about them. Where you're located in downtown Pittsburgh, you know, where are you, and you know, how can people find you?
We're on Forbes Avenue, right behind Mercy Hospital, at the Forbes Stevenson Building. So we are located downtown. What we do that's a little different than a lot of clinics, we do home visits. Many of our clients that we see are homebound. And so we were able to do that when it's possible. But again, that also depends on insurance and some of the barriers we face is getting that covered. But we'll do that. We work with families. It's absolutely essential. Unlike a lot of the other interventions, we have to work with the parents and the family members and the caretakers, the nurses. We'll go into a hospital as well and train staff. It's whatever is needed because otherwise, it won't be effective.
And the other thing we provide is telepractice. So
telepractice.
Telepractice is when we can be working at a computer and the family member or an individual that is working on AAC interventions is in their home or another facility, so we break down the distance barrier.
Well, it's very important work that you're doing, and I'm sure that these families appreciate the help that you're giving them. And again, we've been talking about the I Can Talk Clinic and the two of the women behind it, including Katya Hill, who was the founder of the clinic and who is an associate professor in the Department of Communication Science and Disorders at the University of Pittsburgh. Also joining us here in studio, Evelyn Meinert, a speech-language pathologist at the I Can Talk Clinic. Thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, what can an orange line along the boards of a hockey rink do to reduce the risk of head and spinal cord injuries? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.